By way of exception, we shall quote a number of passages from Augustine that have become classics in what may be called the science of chastity. In his famous book of Confessions, which, by the way, every Catholic should read, the Confessions of St. Augustine. In context, Augustine is praying to the Lord. I thought, he says, writing and speaking to the Lord, I thought that continence was a matter of our own strength, and I knew that I had not the strength. In my foolishness, I did not know the word of your scriptures, that no one can be continent except as a gift from you. Augustine believed he had a free will, but he also had to learn how the free will is not enough to remain chaste. You need, dear Lord, how you need grace from God. Having lived an unchaste life for years, Augustine learned from bitter experience that God must provide the light for the mind and the strength for the will. Otherwise, chastity is a wild dream. What needs to be emphasized is that Augustine discovered how he should use this free will. Hear it. There is nothing more important anywhere in any Christian writer since the Gospels were written. We have a free will mainly to choose to pray. The main reason we've got a free will to pray for the grace to be chaste. This lesson alone is enough to change anyone's life from an unchaste self-love to the continent and selfless love of God. In one of his sermons, St. Augustine gives an explanation of why chastity has been called the angelic virtue. Remember, he tells the people, in whatever gender you are, whether men or women, that you are leading on earth the life of angels. For the angels are neither given in marriage nor married. This shall we be when we shall have risen again. How much better are you who before death begin to be what you will be after the resurrection? Keep your proper state of life, for God is keeping your honors in store for you. The resurrection of the dead is compared to the stars that are set in heaven. For after one manner, virginity will shine in heaven. After another manner, shall wedded chastity shine there. After still another manner, shall holy widowed shine there. We will all shine differently, but we will all be there. The brilliancy will be unequal, but the heaven will be the same. Unquote, Augustine. We cannot exaggerate the importance of this teaching. Time and again, the fathers of the church, as we call them, insist on chastity to be practiced by every follower of Christ in every state of life. Why? Because chastity, like charity, is necessary to reach heaven. The Bishop of Hippo. That's what Augustine was. Knew how necessary is the custody of the senses in order to preserve oneself in chastity. That's why he made the uncompromising statement, I quote, "Do not say that you have chaste minds if you have unchaste eyes, because an unchaste eye is a messenger of an unchaste heart," unquote Augustine. How well, how diabolically well, the children of this world understand what Augustine was saying. The modern world is saturated with seductive language, seductive art, our media of communication have become media of venereal seduction. We who wish to follow the teaching of Jesus Christ have no choice. Either we practice the custody of our senses, or we shall become further casualties of lechery in our day. Guarding our eyes, guarding our ears, guarding our sense of touch, guarding what we read. As I've told Mother Teresa, your missionaries of charity will survive only as long as your present rule remains in effect. No radio, no television, and in a convent of 100 nations of the missionaries of charity in the world. Our next choice, St. Francis of Assisi. The founder of the Franciscans did not write much. Among his writings, however, his rules and admonitions have been the inspiration of millions, including my mother, who was a Franciscan tertiary and buried in a full Franciscan habit. St. Francis gives us a definition of purity of heart that has not been improved for almost 800 years. Quote Francis, "He is pure of heart who despises the world, who seeks heaven, and who always has the Lord his God before his eyes." Unquote, the Seraphic Doctor. St. Francis is giving us an explanation of the sixth beatitude. Our Lord made the promise, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." For 2 millennia now, the Church has taught that there are 2 basic forms of purity of heart. A pure heart is a sinless heart, and a pure heart is a chaste heart. These two forms of purity are related as condition and consequence. The condition is Christian chastity. The consequence is Christian sanctity. It is therefore imperative to understand what St. Francis is saying. If we are to be pure of heart in the practice of chastity, we must do three things. We must, Francis tells us, despise the world, which means we must be willing to sacrifice the pleasures of this world when they are displeasing to God. And among the worldly pleasures, none is more alluring, and as the saints insist, none is more dangerous for our eternal destiny than lust. Again, Francis tells us, we must always seek heaven. This means that we must meet pleasure with pleasure. We must look forward to the joys of heaven and convince ourselves that the cost of a heavenly reward is the surrender of the unlawful pleasures of the flesh. Centuries after St. Francis, St. Ignatius Loyola told his followers that there are times when the love of God is not strong enough to resist the drive of sexual passion. Then, we are told, we should look forward to the joys of heaven which await the pure of heart and dread the pains of hell for those who are intoxicated with the sexual pleasures of this world. Finally, Francis tells us, we must have the Lord our God ever before our eyes. Nothing is more effective to preserve one's chastity or to grow in sanctity than to literally live in the presence of God. It is not a pious recommendation. It is a law of Christian spirituality. We are always living, dare I say it, in the presence of ourselves. We must therefore cultivate the habit of turning the eyes of our mind on the God who is always thinking of us. Call it recollection or constant prayer. By whatever name, it is the divinely ordained talisman that never fails to give us the light and strength we constantly need to do the will of God and hear in subduing our passions in order to conform to the teachings of the old chaste Son of God. St. Alphonsus Liguori, almost 600 years separate Alphonsus Liguori from Francis of Assisi, well, the founder of the Franciscans said in just a few pages, the founder of the Redemptorists expressed in many volumes. Alphonsus devoted thousands of words to extolling the dignity of chastity as an indispensable condition for sanctity. In one sentence, he declares, I quote, in comparison with a chaste soul, all the riches, all the titles and dignities of the earth are contemptible, unquote. Over the years, one of my favorite authors has been Alphonsus. In comparison with a chaste soul, all the riches, all the titles and dignities of the earth are contemptible. At first sight, this must seem like wild fantasy. Actually, it is unqualified truth. The key word is contemptible. Only a soul that considers friendship with God above all other possessions is willing to pay the price of preserving the gift of chastity, which is the infallible road to sanctity. We must contemn the world, reject the world, if we're going to preserve ourselves, I repeat, in Christian continence. When Christ told us that we cannot have both the world and Him, He meant many things, but one thing He meant especially. We cannot be His followers unless we are willing to sacrifice the sinful pleasures of the flesh. However, if we make the sacrifice, we are not only assured of His love here on earth, we have the promise of living in His company for all eternity. There's one more quotation from St. Alphonsus that I think we should make before we close this conference. It refers to the chastity of priests. Priests who avow themselves to a life of celibacy. It is of capital importance, especially in the Western world in our day. St. Alphonsus Liguori is a heavenly patron of confessors. Writes Alphonsus, priests who are bound to perpetual chastity must take great care to preserve it. You shall never practice chastity unless you are careful to watch over yourself with great diligence, for chastity is easily lost by the negligent. Unquote, Alphonsus. The evil spirit is especially eager with a demonic eagerness to deceive and seduce priests by temptations of the flesh. The devil's success has been phenomenal. Negligence in guarding their celibacy is crucial for the welfare of the church. Every major break in Catholic unity has been occasioned by infidelity in priestly chastity. No wonder, as the Holy See has told me, never in the 2,000 years of Christian history have more priests abandon their priesthood than in our century, to be specific, since the middle of the 20th century. Never before. And the main reason, I repeat, has neglect to guard their consecrated chastity. St. Alphonsus explains why priests of the New Testament should be so sedulous in preserving their sacerdotal chastity. Priests of the Old Law were ordered to wear so many white vestments and ornaments and observe so many external purifications. Why? To symbolize their bodily purity. But why all this symbolism? Because they were to touch the sacred vessels in their day. And because, says Alphonsus, they were to prefigure the priests of the new law. Catholic priests handle, I'm now quoting St. Alphonsus, handle and immolate the most sacred flesh of the incarnate word. Unquote, Alphonsus. No wonder they must be watchful in the extreme to protect their consecrated chastity as a witness to their superhuman dignity. One more observation. St. Alphonsus Liguori's stress on the extreme care that priests should use to preserve their celibacy. Alphonsus was so concerned because he knew that only chaste priests teach the faithful the meaning of chastity. I'm asking our Lord, present right next to me in the Blessed Sacrament, whether I should say it. I think I should. When Pope Paul VI, in 1968, published Humanae Vitae, declaring that contraception among the married was a grave sin. It is the grave sin of unchastity for the married. Before the year was over, one nation after another found its bishops meeting and passing judgment. Some one half of the world's hierarchy undercut, undermined the teaching of the Vicar of Christ. Only chaste bishops, only chaste priests will teach chastity, including chastity among the married, and being faithful to their spouse, and accepting the children that God wants to give them by avoiding contraception. I will need to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father and of your Immaculate Mother, I beg you for the grace of fidelity in the practice of chastity in my state of life. You told us, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Our one desire on earth is to see you, our God, by faith in every circumstance of our lives. Our one hope for eternity is to behold you, the second person in the company of the Father and the Holy Spirit. But we also know that without chastity, we are blind to your providence in this valley of tears. Without chastity, we have no hope of reaching our heavenly destiny. We beg you to give us the wisdom to see the beauty of chastity as a condition for sanctity, and the strength to persevere in this angelic virtue until we join the angels and saints in everlasting glory. Amen. I thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, and once more, may 1996 be a blessed and holy new year. Once more, I thank you. Your faith strengthens mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.